Hello, and welcome to the Passive Power Radio Show with Galexis. My name is Ginger Metro, and I channel Galexis, and Galexis will speak with you today. For those of you listening who don't know Galexis, they are a group of beings from various levels and dimensions and star systems who speak as one. I will go into trance, and there will be a moment of silence, and then Galexis will speak. They will first give a short message for you all, and then open up the airwaves for questions. So you'll have an opportunity to call in and have a Galexis address whatever topic is of interest to you. Our mission through Galexis is to share ways that your life can be a glorious experience on your path of power. The number to call for the U.S. and Canada is 888-228-4494. Again, that's 888-228-4494. If you're not able to get through on that line, Station 2 BBS radio site has other lines that are listed there that you can use as alternative numbers. For more information on Galexis, please check out the website galexisspirit.com. That's galexisspirit.com. If you'd like a recording of today's show, please request it from the Galexis website. You just simply go on the Galexis website and email us from the website. The cost is $6, mailed to you. Or you can sign up for the archive access on BBS Radio. So I'm signing off here, and I'm going into trance now. Galexis will be with you after a few seconds of silence. So enjoy the show. All right, we are here, and we are Galexis. And welcome. Welcome to the Path of Power. Today we're going to talk a little bit about toxicity. Now, a lot of people, when they hear the term toxicity, they tend to think in terms of physical components that are disruptive to one's physical body and symptoms of toxicity having to do with being ill and suffering from environmental illnesses, etc., etc. And that is one form of toxicity. But there are other kinds of toxicity. There's toxicities of mind. Those are limiting and painful beliefs and attitudes about things that keep a person locked in a negative or down state of being. There are toxic emotions, emotions that have been unexpressed and not cleared over many years, emotions being held on to. Common ones that turn toxic are fear and anger. And fear will turn into a sense of chronic worry. It can move into a sense of terror and a lack of safety, to where the world becomes a threatening place, leading into toxic beliefs and attitudes and thoughts that hold a person in a limited box of life, creating victim consciousness, a sense of being powerless, a sense of being unable to cope with life's issues, or having to cope with life's issues from a very one-step-down position at a great disadvantage. Another toxic emotion that turns sour is anger. Anger can turn sour into various kinds of rage, for example. Rage is a sense that one has been angry, one is outraged over something that someone has done or that is the circumstances in their life, but feel totally powerless, having their power kind of ripped away from them, feeling totally incapable of responding in any satisfying way. That rage goes and settles down deep, normally in various parts of the body, and so that will set up the pattern between the fear going down into the terror and the unsafety and the worry and the rage moving in there, all setting up a minefield, if you will, that prepares the body by reducing the immune system, the capacity of the body to function in terms of the toxicities of emotion, the toxicities of mind, or the toxicities of the physical environment. And from that lower state, a person can feel very, very inept, very incapable of things. They can feel that they cannot do what they need to do. They feel that they let other people down. They let themselves down. They feel also that they cannot function as normal people, and their self-images crumble. So toxicity can end up with a person being stuck in a place of numbness, of pain, of shame, of a sense of humiliation, failure, a sense of isolation, loneliness, and depression. Now, of course, not everyone is in the full, total state of toxicity. But every one of you have experienced at some point of your life having to deal with this gunk and mire of emotional toxicity, the mental toxicity that results from that, the beliefs and attitudes that keep you limited, keep your self-image small, keep you thinking that you're not really a strong and worthy and capable person, which, of course, creates the circumstances for you to draw and attract to yourself that which validates and reinforces what you already believe. Because as you see, you believe, but as you believe, you also see. You see, a lot of people say, oh, I'll believe it when I see it. But no, if you believe it, you will see it. All right, so that's probably the most damaging toxicity, much more than, we would say, than environmental toxins and environmental stresses. Environmental toxins and stresses would not bother you so much if your internal, emotional, and mental toxicities weren't a problem. So one of the ways of getting clear of toxicities is to express, to release, to understand your emotions, to work with your beliefs, to realize that they are illusions, and to work with a choice, taking your power in your personal path of power to make your decisions, to make your choices, to choose by your very willingness, by your very curiosity, by your very openness to what could be, using your imagination to imagine something positive. You can choose positive beliefs. You can choose beliefs that are less limiting. You can choose attitudes that are not so defining. You can begin to work with healing your self-image, begin to care for yourself, to love yourself, to be able to step into a sense of forgiving yourself for whatever you may have been unable to do, to put yourself into a place where once again you can dream your dreams, dream your visions, and step onto your path of power. Toxicities are always present. Toxicities are always going to be with you. They are part of the challenge of a reality which you have created and co-created. So they will always be there. You don't have to fall prey to them. You don't have to be stuck with them. We're going to open up the airwaves now for calls. And so if you want to talk to us or ask a question, please give us a call. And as we're waiting for that to come in, we're going to continue. When you want to detox your body, you generally tend to take nutritional supplements, or you can do cleansing programs. You can reduce dietary load. In other words, eat foods that are light on your system. You can do purifications. You can do fasts. You can go into places where there's clean air and so on. We would suggest to consider the possibility that you can do that also on the emotional level and on the mental level. Entertain for your mind, for example, positive and more uplifting thoughts. Go and be in the company of people who are upbeat, who have positive visions and ideas for the future, so you can kind of catch more of that lift. For emotions, work with somebody, a good coach, a good counselor, to help you understand what you're feeling and how you can really be truthful and honest to yourself and love yourself no matter what emotions you find in there. To heal yourself on all levels is a worthy and important endeavor, because until you can really heal yourself, until you really pull yourself together, you're going to always have a sense of being the victim of your external circumstances, the victim of your reality, of your life around you. You see, so one of the aspects of taking your power, one of the aspects of being on your spiritual journey of fulfillment, is recognizing that there is going to be toxicity. You don't have to spend your life trying to defend and protect yourself from it, trying to avoid it, trying to push it away, trying to deny or judge other people because they are toxic. You don't have to go there. You can, in a sense, be totally open, to be free to receive, to explore, and to be happy and joyous in this physical world. And you can do it by being and opening yourself up to lighter thoughts, feelings, and beliefs, and physical experiences. You don't have to be afraid of toxicity. You can actually live very freely with it out there. You don't have to accept it and own it yourself. All right, so let's take our first caller. Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Hello, welcome.
Hi. My name is
Yes,
Cindy.
Hello. What would you like to speak about?
I have actually three people who are toxic in my life. One of them is my daughter. And so as I've been evolving, the question is how do or why do I draw these people to me? And since they are already in my life, how do I deal with it without shutting them out of my life, since one of them is my daughter and I don't want to do that, you know, shut her out of my life?
Oh, of course. All right. Do you feel love for your daughter?
Yeah. That seems to
All right.
be probably the driving force. That's the biggest problem, is because I do love her so much.
That's right. And so because you love her so much, it's very difficult for you to actually to push her away or to stay away from her, because you still want to interact with her. You still have a dream and a hope that somehow you and she could have a beautiful experience, right?
Yeah.
All right.
That's exactly it.
All right. Now, first of all, realize when you have toxic people in your environment, these people, particularly if it's a child of yours, is going to have to, by virtue of being your child, rebel in a way against you. They're going to have to find their own way and find out who they are. And they're going to, because they're not mature, they're going to probably blame you, because they're coming from life from a more of a victim consciousness place. That's natural to a child or an adolescent or a young person, that they're going to feel that they haven't gotten enough power to stand up to what it is that you have given them, or to be able to be their own person without that influence from you. It's part of a natural process. Now, what makes it go toxic is that in trying to rectify this relationship, you try to make certain types of efforts. You try to reach out in certain ways. You try to help, and that aggravates it, does it not?
Yes, it does.
All right. You're not going to be able to change them at this point. It's not like they're 10 anymore. They're
yeah.
not going to listen to you in that regard. What, though, you're going to be able to do to deal with a toxic situation with your child is to recognize that inside yourself you have a deep emotional connection to your daughter that puts you into a sense of dislike, judgment, or negativity and limitation for yourself. Now, when you think about your daughter, on one hand, you think, oh, I feel the love I have from her. But on the other hand, don't you anticipate the tension, the difficulty, the frustration of being with her, right?
Right.
You don't expect that you're going to call her up and that she's going to be really happy to hear you, right?
Right.
Okay. There's nothing you're going to do to change her. What you can do, however, when you have a toxic relationship, and we're just talking using the daughter as your example, but you know, it can be for husband or parents or friends or whomever. This is that you've got to release the toxicity that you're buying into inside yourself. Somewhere you have convinced yourself that you're powerless here. Do you know what we're talking about?
Yeah. So how do
and
I
that powerlessness
that?
And that frustration sets you up to where you feel almost incapacitated to move. You don't feel that you have any ability to make changes. You feel powerless. There's rage under there, as we mentioned before. There is a sense of fear and worry. And so as a result, you get yourself all caught in there. Now, if you're relating to anyone else and you have rage, fear, frustration, worry, insecurity, panic, a sense of lack of safety, fear of upcoming tension, anticipating problems, what is your daughter going to sense from you energetically?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's going to sense this is not a safe experience. She's going to go ahead and put up her walls, you see, and she's going to, in a sense, put herself into a hostile, defensive position. And she's going to, you know, really listen closely to make sure that everything that you say is safe and that she doesn't have to defend herself against it. You understand?
Yeah.
All right. So how are you going to heal this relationship? It takes two people to tango, as they say. It takes two people to have a relationship. If you uphold the negativity on your side and the fear and so on your side and you stay in a position of powerlessness, she's going to continuously feel threatened and she's going to react. She's not going to change. She's not going to understand where you're coming from. She's too young. Is by the time she gets to be your age, she'll realize what was going on, and she may feel pretty bad about it. But in the meantime, you have all these years that you could that she could possibly miss having a beautiful experience with her mother. So here's what we would suggest for you, all right, is for you to recognize that you are keeping this situation alive by your fear, and therefore, in a sense, do this. We would suggest a technique. It's a meditative technique. It's a visualization that you can do. First of all, you see your daughter. You surround her in light. You see a beautiful bubble of light surrounding her. You feel love in your heart for her, and you send that love to her and let it go into that bubble and fill that bubble up with light. And then what you do for yourself is you surround yourself with your bubble of light. Call upon angels, call upon God, call upon your unseen friends, your spiritual helpers to be with you, to be present with you, and to support you, and surround yourself with beautiful, beautiful bubbles of light. All right?
Okay.
And then feel the love that you have for your daughter and realize that that's you loving. So take that love and love you too. And know that your daughter's path where, even though you see so many things that she could do, that she could improve her life, that she could be happier if she were to do, let that go. She has her own pathway to learn from her own hard knocks. She has to learn from her own mistakes. You have to learn from yours. So what you're doing is by pumping yourself up with love and sealing this beautiful energy field around you with light, you can start to feel a little safer so that when you speak with her, recognize there is no agenda. You don't want to kind of convince her to love you or convince her that that what she needs for her well-being. You want to let that go. She's old enough at this point that she doesn't think she needs a mother anymore. You understand?
Yeah.
All right. So it's time for you to let go of your motherhood and let her be a beautiful soul that you love, you wish well, and you will always love and wish well regardless of what crazy thing she may do. And you need to extend that love to yourself as well. Whatever mistakes you think you may have made with her, forgive yourself for that. Love yourself for that. Let yourself be free. And when you can do that, even though it may at first seem like you're going to separate yourself and her, that you're going to lose your connection with her, this is not true at all. The two of you are connected, the two of you are bonded, it will always be so. Now, for other people in your life that may be toxic for you, that bring you tremendous discomfort, pain, suffering, etc., do the same technique for them too. Before you communicate with them, before you reach out to them, always remove any judgments against yourself and any judgments against them before you touch them, before you reach them. Make sure that your intentions for them are that they are protected in the light. Your intentions for yourself are that you are protected in the light. When you do this, it shifts your toxic energies on the emotional and the mental and the physical, and you're probably going to feel better even in your body. You're probably going to feel better in every kind of way, because this is a healing process for you. Love is the ultimate healer. When you give yourself love and you can love them, both you and they, free of any judgment, free of negative beliefs imposed upon them, will open up the opportunity for them to feel safe. And when you give another person the opportunity to feel safe and to feel love at the same time, they begin to respond. It may not be immediate because they may be suspicious, but there will come a point where they will respond, where they will grow, where they will realize there is love offered there, that there is no negativity and nothing to be afraid of. Do you understand?
Yes.
All right, dear one.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Farewell.
Thank you.
All right. See, now, what a beautiful example of toxicity and then the healing of that toxicity. There is so much that can be done when you have a relationship. There's so much to imagine. There's so much to dream. The only problem is very often when people enter a relationship, for example, a love relationship, they have an anticipation they're going to have love, they have an anticipation it's going to be safe, and somewhere along the way, some of their own lack of safety, some of their own toxicities are going to show up. If a toxicity shows up in your partner, you will feel fear. If a toxicity shows up in you, even if it's not directed at your partner or about your partner will feel it from you. Toxicities are like viruses. You can catch them from one person to another. The way to really work with this is that to realize that love is also catching. Imagine, if you will, the people that you admire the most. They're people who are confident in themselves, who love themselves, who value and appreciate themselves. So take that as a tip to love, value, and appreciate yourself. And as you do that, you will find that those people in your environment will tend to be either less toxic, or they will come around to not to your way of thinking. You don't really want them to be in your reality under your control. That's a fear concern. What you really want are people to be able to let you be free to be yourself so that you feel safe. And you want other people to feel safe, too. One of the greatest gifts that you can give another person is to assist them to feel safe. So we're open for any other calls. If anyone would like to call in and speak with us, the lines are open. Now, the healing of toxicity may be or appear to be a very drawn out, complicated, and unpleasant process. But we would say that this particular work is extremely rewarding, personally, as well as for everyone who knows you. Now, you know a whole network of people. There are people all over the place who you have met, who you connect with, who you see on a regular basis or off and on. You have a social network. You probably have a business or professional network. If you have children who are in school, you probably have the school network. There is so much that, so many people that you come into contact with in your life, that it's very easy to think that, okay, I've got to please all these people. I've got to somehow or another make all of these people happy. And that seems like, no, that's not going to work. They're not going to like you just because you make them happy. And frankly, you can't make anyone happy. The only person who can make themselves happy is themselves. You know, you can't make anyone happy. You can't do enough for anyone and make them happy. You see, they will be happy when they can face their life and their life's challenges and come out feeling strong, feeling capable, feeling clear about who they are and what they desire, what they wish, what they want to do, where they want to go, and with whom and how. They have their way, their path. Your job here when you're on this planet with all the people that you know is not to change them. Not to fix anybody, not to make their lives work, but to do that for you. Not even to fix you, because there's nothing really wrong with you to begin with, but to love yourself, but to enjoy yourself, to step into your own majesty, to step into your own light, to step into your own power. This is what you're here for. And what you can do as you get that, as you understand that for yourself, you can spread your light to others. You can touch others with your light, with your love. All right, so there's another call. We should take that. Hello?
Hi, Alexis.
Hello. Hello. Hi. Welcome.
Well, thank you so much for being on air. I really enjoy your show. It's been a while since we chatted.
Fantastic. Well, it's good to be speaking with you again then. All right, do you have a question for us?
Yes, I do. In regards to your talking about toxicity and with people with toxicity, I'm trying something very different in my life. I've been reaching very much inward, and I am contacting the God in myself.
Good.
And focusing on that and not trying to process and maneuver the politics around, which I deal with on a 9-to-5 basis in my corporation. And I've been focusing a lot in my brain, reaching areas that I have not explored. And it's opened me up to a very different way of thinking. It's very unsettling, but I'm getting used to it. It's almost as if someone else walked in, and I'm having very new feelings and sensations.
Congratulations. You're moving into a new aspect of yourself. Fantastic.
It's hard to get used to, because it's, if you lived 48 years of your life with one way of thinking, and you're making these shifts suddenly, and I'm very grateful this is happening with, along with my guides helping me. It's a very disorienting thing. And what I'm trying to say is, the feelings that come from people at me, I sort of wash off more quickly now, like water off a duck. And I'm a lot more aware of what they're feeling. Not that I'm interested, but I can tell honesty and I can tell dishonesty, not even thoughts, but feelings, in a very fast flashes.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to have, when we talked, I think a year ago, I used to have really bad anxiety attacks in the subway. It was very incapacitating.
Yes.
And I had gone through a lot of healing, and with ET healing, and, you know, I sort of come full circle. And it's just a lot of changes. And I've also embraced something that I was so frightened of. I embraced the darkness. and
yes.
I seem to have come completely whole. It doesn't scare me as
yes.
much as it used to.
You're correct.
That is
often called the hero's journey. It's a descent into the darkness and then the ascent back into the light, the new person, the hero. So we congratulate you on this journey because it takes a tremendous amount of courage to go through that process.
It does because I've been having a lot more light experiences, and I did have one where I was getting a tremendous amount of suffocation and vibrations were very dark. And this is what happened to me a year ago, and I had to take drugs. And this time I just told the force, I said, I am God, I am darkness, I am light. And then the whole incident disappeared, and I became balanced.
Yes, you took your power. You didn't
but
give
I am
your power
dark,
to
and I am light in that
yes,
sense.
Yes, you are. You're all those things. You're everything. You see, when you realize that you come to that point in your life where you realize that, you know, you're not just going to be this kind of divine little sweet angel who's going to go around and be, you know, the instrument of love for everyone. That is a path that is beautiful. It's a path of love. However, you're on a path of a magician's power, and a magician's power has to acknowledge that there is all aspects, and every person who comes to the conclusion of lifetimes, who ends the cycle of birth and death, have to step into an awareness. I am that. That is in the scriptures of Asia, in the Hindu scriptures, it talks about that point of where you recognize that you are God. I am that. And there comes a point where you step beyond the concerns of physicality and the concerns of the world, where, as far as from the point of view of toxicity, your toxicity is completely gone. Does not mean that there is not some darkness there, but there is light there, and it is your choice. But you realize you're all of it, and you realize that sometimes some of the darkness was there as an impetus, as a force, as a trigger to enable you to get into your power, to get into your strength, and into the ownership of your light. You see? You know, that challenge that you've had in the 9-to-5 circumstance, a lot of that has just simply been almost to force you from, by your response to it, to having the difficulty of dealing with that, trying to find how to overcome it or how to deal with it, how to not let it crush you. You went into inside yourself and opened up new channels within yourself. Are you having difficulty reconciling the darkness and the light together? Hello, are you still with us online? Seems we have lost that connection. All right. This is something that we would suggest is part of a process of total self-realization. And
hello?
Hello?
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Okay, good. Good.
This is not a cell phone ad, all right? Yes, we can hear you now. Are you at odds with the light and the darkness being in one month within you?
No, to be quite honest, Galexis, I used to be afraid of the dark. I am fascinated by the dark now. I am
right.
Very fascinated by the dark.
All right. Are you fascinated by the light as well?
I am in love with the light. I am in love with the light, and I am in love with the Christ consciousness, and I've had visitations from, I would say, Jesus made an appearance. But the darkness has not, I'm not afraid of it. There's something beautiful about it in Kali, Hecate, and there's something about it that does fascinate me, and
yes.
I don't know why.
All right. Is that your question that you called
yes.
in about? Or?
Yes.
Why are you fascinated with the dark side? All right.
Because I've avoided it so long. I've been running and running and running from it. And
right.
I stop.
Well, you didn't have power then. In a sense, you gave it so much power that you were afraid that it would consume you. And we want to point out that ultimately, once you really seek and search within the dark force, you will find that what is fascinating about it is how it does coexist with the light, how it is actually, in a way, not in conflict with the light. Now, that is a paradox, that the darkness and the light coexist, and all is one. When you lift beyond that paradox and see how it is one, that is not two separate realities, you become a one yourself. You have a union. This is advanced magic, all right? Now, the fascination with the darkness is a fascination with what it does deep inside your soul. It is a part of the process of soul journey, which travels through many lifetimes and through many woundings, but also through many depths of love, loss, and intensity of feeling. The darkness holds a tremendous intensity, right?
Yes.
You're aware? Yes. Okay. In that intensity, there's this incredible ability to feel completely and totally alive, to feel yourself in your physical body, to feel every cell, to feel the pulsations of life. The part of the darkness that you feared was the part that was destructive. But not all the darkness is destructive. Have you come to realize that?
I'm starting to realize that, yes.
All right, because a lot of the darkness opens up doorways of wisdom, doorways of acknowledgement, doorways deep into your soul, deep into the understanding of what it means to be a human being.
Or
it
a
is
magician.
Always a
yes.
Okay, it's always a precursor to transcendence. All right.
Yes, exactly. I've also had the opportunity to study with a Tibetan Lama who practice almost like the agora, where they meditate in the cemetery, and it's just a poetic way of dealing with death and not be afraid of death.
All right.
And
well,
I've been
death is a lot of people associate death with the dark side, but death is actually always a transfiguration. There is not in your reality, not in the whole cosmogenesis, in the whole construct of things. Death is just simply a shifting from one form or phase to another.
Exactly.
But the fascination with it has to do with the attachments to it of loss and of pain that have been with the human condition over millennia and also on some other star systems. So what you're doing, in a sense, is a wrap-up of the, what you might say, the journey of humankind, which is also in and of itself a hero's journey. The humankind has descended out of its own free will into the darkness and into the destructive aspects to discover what is there. Out of curiosity, human beings went and discovered the most painful, shameful places where they could not acknowledge their divinity any longer, where they had forgotten who they were. But that was part of a choice, that you would do this cycle, you would descend into the darkness, and there would come a time where you would emerge into the light. And dear one, this time is now for you. You see?
You just poetically encapsulated what I've been going through with a lot more courage than I did years ago.
Yes, and it's your courage that enabled you to do it, and it's your courage that told you it was time now, that you could, and gave you the freedom, and you empowered yourself to be able to go to those different places in your brain, to explore those different aspects of yourself, to open yourself up to a higher and a greater magic than you'd ever experienced before. So this journey will continue, and you will be able to see this lift into the oneness at some point. So that's where you're going. All right?
Thank you very much, Alexis. It's so nice talking to you again.
Oh, it is wonderful to talk to you again, dear one. All right, thank you very much for your call.
Bye now.
All right, farewell. All right, and the lines are open for anyone else who would like to call. We can take another call. And but you see, it depends on where you're coming from, what your intentions are, as to how you can deal with the energies of toxicity, the energies of the darkness, in this case, energies of light. At what stage are you? And the stage is determined by your courage, which is also determined by your willingness to love yourself, your willingness to take a risk, to stretch, to grow, and to change. And it can be something very simple on a daily basis to make a shift in yourself, to make a change, to drop a judgment. That's no small feat. Like our first caller, just to drop the judgments against yourself, the judgments against her daughter that she was holding. And a judgment against the daughter wasn't that the daughter was bad or a bad person, but that the daughter was doing the wrong thing, or that should be shifted or should be changed, or that this is the way it should be or the way it shouldn't be. In a sense, that is a judgment, and no one can really have the right or really the depth of wisdom, unless they have reached a self-realization state, to make that call for anyone else. But you can make it for yourself. You can decide for yourself, I will drop the judgments on me. I will open up the possibilities for a new self. I can change myself. I can't change other people. I can't make a call on them. But I can say, okay, I'm ready to go to the next level now for me, you see. So it's always that opportunity. That opportunity always, always is with you, regardless of whether it's a small thing or a big thing or medium-sized thing, and that would be a judgment too, because to let go of a judgment against your partner or your mate could be something that is really hard to do. But when you do it, the rewards are profound. Not necessarily for them, but for you. Because any time you judge anything else, you limit yourself. Any time you fear anything, you put yourself in a smaller box. Everything that you do, in a sense, comes back to you. Your reality is enclosed in boundaries that you set and that you create for yourself. This is a fantastic time on the planet. It is opening up for people, regardless of where they are in the stream of consciousness, where they are as far as self-acceptance and self-power and self-recognition. All right? Just a minute. You are capable of making this leap forward. You're capable of stepping up to the next level, of freeing yourself and opening yourself to becoming more, to becoming freer, to becoming more light, more power, more strength, and finding your relationships, your life, more free and loving. All right, so let's take our next caller then. Hello?
Hello?
Hello, could you speak up a little bit?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, thank you.
Hi, thank you for taking my call, Alexis. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
I have a couple of things that I would like for you to talk about. One
All
would
right.
be specific techniques to replace toxic beliefs, and also
All right.
techniques to release toxic emotions such as powerlessness and fear in particular.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, are you ready to sit down for a couple of days?
Sure, I'll take all the time you have.
All right. All right, well, the first thing to do is to recognize that when you have a toxic state of anything, a toxic emotion, a toxic belief, something that you're ready to get rid of, recognize that the first thing that you've got to do is to know when you are in connection with toxic belief or toxic emotion. You've got to be able to identify it as an observer. Now, in the past, when you fall prey to it, you feel the toxicity, and at that same time, what you would do is an automatic knee-jerk response to it will be that you just kind of go automatically into the belief, thinking it real. You go automatically in the emotional reactivity and so forth, and act as you would normally react and respond to that energy. And you would forget that it was a choice of yours at one point, and that it is a pattern that you can change. So first of all, you have to be consciously aware of when you enter into it and stop yourself from falling into it as a powerless being. Now, there may be a circumstance whereby it seems that that negative emotion or that limiting belief just seem to be really rock solid real. But there will come a point if you will start waking up and saying, hey, look, there's that belief showing up again. And look at what happens when I believe, when I follow that belief, and I just think that that's what's true. Look what that means into my reality. Look what the impact of that is out there. If you believe, for example, as a woman, if you believe you can't trust men, what would that belief create in your relationships with men? It would create untrustworthy men. You would look at, okay, if you want to know what your belief is, your limiting beliefs are, look at what you think is true about men or whatever else it is that you would, you know, look at as an example in your life. So first of all, you have to know that you are there. Next, when you feel that emotion, for example, oh my gosh, here is this anger again, here is this self-pity, here is this, you know, fear again. Oh my gosh, there I am. I'm playing the same old game again. There's that feeling again, that familiar old feeling. That's what you do. You think of it that way. Your observer self is stepping back from the feeling and saying, oh, look, there's that feeling again. That's the first step of any change, is that you've got to recognize when that is happening. And you've got to have a distance from it to recognize that you are subject to that, or that you have, one way or another, victimized yourself by that, or you believe it, or you own it, or you're somehow or another, your self-image, the self that you see yourself as being, is not more powerful, more glorious than that. In other words, you see where you're coming from. If you have lots and lots of fear, your perception of yourself is that you are a fearful, scared person, that you're insecure, you understand. So when you feel the fear, for example, you'll look out, okay, there I am playing insecure. There I am playing weak and fearful. You want to make a distinction between the fear and the reality. In other words, the fear is just a fear. It's an emotion you're feeling. You're playing a tape or a program. You're just running a program that fear is in there. And you're seeing yourself as a person who's running this program. Now you can change it. Now you take your power back from it. This is the next step from it. You take your power back from it. The way you can take your power back from fear, for example, is by saying, okay, there's this fear there, and this fear is something I've created as part of a program. Therefore, I can choose whether this fear is going to be real or not. I can use this fear, or I can use this anger, or I can use this rage, or I can use it to grow with. I can use it to empower myself with. This time, I'm not going to respond like a victim to it. This time, I'm going to use it positively and powerfully for myself. All right? For fear, what you would do is basically you would say, okay, what is it exactly that I'm really, really afraid of? Okay, what is it? Seek and find. What is it that's a scary thing? Is it that somebody's not going to like you? Or is it that somehow or another you're going to be penniless and out on the street? Or somehow you're going to be humiliated in front of all your friends? What is it that you're really afraid of? Go find that fear. Take a deep breath and just blow it out of you. Just blow it away. You see, when you do that with your intention, first of all, you can just blow that away. An anger. You find an anger. Okay, what are you really angry about? Are you really angry that this person that you're frustrated about, that you're having a difficult time with, that this person is going to hurt you, that this person is going to sabotage you, that this person is someone you can't trust, that's going to do something to you? What is it that you imagine that you're vulnerable to? What is it that you imagine that this person thinks of you or what they're going to do about it? You know, what power do you give them in your life? You can take that power back. You can say to yourself, all right, mentally, power, return to me. This is my power. I'm giving power away to this person by being so bent out of shape about it, about them and what they're saying and what they're doing. Power, return to me, and feel that you take that energy, that all that emotional Sturm und Drang, all that intensity and so on, just pull it right back to yourself. Not that it's toxic, but it's your energy, that your power you've given them. So you pull that power back almost as if it's a substance. You just pull it back. You breathe in to yourself, and you pull it right back into you. Power, return to me. And when the power is there, you say, okay, so here's what I'm really angry about. I'm angry that you haven't listened to me, that you're discounting me, that you're not respecting what I say. You're not hearing me. You're not, whatever it is, you're lying to me. You're not being upfront with me. You see what we're saying?
Yes.
All right. So when you can come to that stage, this, the fear or the anger or that negative emotion, and when you come to that stage with the belief, it no longer has the power over you that it did. Now, a way to do a change of belief is to recognize, okay, here's the way I would word the belief, like we used a silly example before, you know, you can't trust men. That means men are untrustworthy. That's my belief. They're going to let you down. They're untrustworthy. Okay, let's say that were a negative belief that you were holding. So what you would do is that you would go and say, okay, here's the way I would write it. Men are untrustworthy. Okay. Well, write it down in a meditation. Write it down physically on your notepad. And in a meditation or physically, whichever you feel works best for you, take that piece of paper and stand up and say, no. I renounce, I denounce, I deny, I just throw this away. I say, no, 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 no more do I choose to believe this. No way, no more. Finished, done with that belief. And you tear it up into pieces and burn it. Saying, no, no, no longer. This belief is no longer mine. It's gone. No more, no more. And when the flames have burned up every piece of the paper, either in your meditation or live, then what you write down on a new piece of paper, fresh, clean piece of paper, men are trustworthy. You notice it's in the same wording as the negative belief. Men are trustworthy. I choose to believe this. Now, we want to point out that just any kind of belief that you choose, you're not just going to choose it blindly and go on blind faith and let a man manipulate you. You're not just going to say, okay, I believe now that all men are trustworthy, therefore I don't have to be conscious and aware of what they do, and I don't have to be, you know, I don't have to be present. I can just lean on them and believe them and all that. No, you still have to be present. You still have to watch, because you're going to test yourself. So you can say, men are trustworthy. Okay, the next man that you come across, he sounds good enough, and so forth and so on, and you watch and you listen and you stay there. You're not fearful. You're not cautious. You anticipate. Okay, I'm anticipating. I'm looking. This man is probably going to be more trustworthy. If he starts to be untrustworthy, that means, oh, okay, this is a test. I'm sending myself a test of my reality. To determine that he is whether I can trust him or not trust him. And look, reality, I choose that this time I'm not going to trust this guy. But that's because of my awareness, and it's not because all men are untrustworthy. So when you start acting on it, then you become free of the limitation of it. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, perfect sense.
All right, dear one.
Thank you so much.
Unfortunately, we've run out of time, so we cannot really work with that in any greater depth. You can find a lot of good information about that in various workshops and CDs that we have. You can check the website where we have them there. And also, there are other places that you can learn this type of material. Go and look at the recommendations on our Galexis Spirit website, and you will find other ways to heal, other ways to open and clear these kinds of things. We thank you for your call.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. And we thank all of you for listening. And we're going to now leave and wish you the very, very best as we leave, surrounding you all with our light and our love. And there will be a few seconds of silence, and then the channel will return. Thank you and farewell. All right, well, I'm back. This is Ginger again. And thank you for being with us on this show today, some really good material and so on. And I will be back on the air for our next show, April 23rd, and same time, same station, and see you next time. Again, if you want to listen to this show again, you can either access the archives when they put it up on BBS Radio Archives. And I think there's a little fee to access the archives, but you have access to this show and also a lot of other very good shows that are on this radio station. Or you can go to galexisspirit.com and write us an email, and for $6 we will send it to you. Well, I hope you that your life is joyous and empowered, and that the light and the love of Galexis is with you. So thank you for being with us here on BBS Radio, and have a very good night.